And welcome back to the podcast, people. This is your show, AFGeek for Life, and I'm your host, Naman. I know it's been a while since I released my last video, but I've been looking for some good content. And today I found just the perfect thing to talk about, connecting flights. Now, not everyone loves connecting flights, I know. So if you guys want to listen to this ultimate guide to connecting flights, make sure to tune in. Make sure to keep listening, alright? I'm sorry my voice isn't as good. I have a sore throat. I'm not doing very well. I have cough and then, I don't know, I'm not just very well. So I'm sorry if it sounds very weird or if I cough a lot in between. But, so talking about the first thing is going to be, of course, what connecting flights are. Sorry, I'm just getting weird emails. Okay. So what connecting flights are? Basically, when you take a flight from A to B, transiting via point C, so you don't fly directly from A to B. It's pretty simple. If I was to fly from India, let's say Mumbai, to Vietnam, right? Two very important destinations in my life, so Mumbai and Ho Chi Minh City. Two destinations that I always consider on the podcast as well. So there are no direct flights between Mumbai and between anywhere in India and anywhere in Vietnam. So what I have to do every time I fly between India and Vietnam is I have to connect via either of the three airports, Bangkok, Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, or in Singapore. Now, I have to fly from Mumbai to KL, Bangkok, or Singapore, and then take a flight to Ho Chi Minh City. Pretty simple, right? Everyone's taken connecting flights before. Dubai's, I don't know, it's huge, but it's not exactly the best connecting airport, I believe. Now, the thing is, a lot of people have asked me, what do you think is the recommended time between connecting flights? Sorry, I'm just going to move the phone a bit little, and I'm going to move my chair. Okay, much better. Now, a lot of people have asked me before about how much time they should leave between connecting flights. I know I've been through this where I've missed my next connection. It's not the best thing you want to do. So, first recommendation, always leave enough time. So, if you're doing an international to international transit, always leave, I would recommend, about 3 hours. 3 hours is the minimum I would suggest. On bigger airports like Frankfurt, London, or Tokyo, Hong Kong, I would recommend about 3.5 hours. But smaller airports like maybe, not LA. Why was I thinking LA? My bad. Maybe smaller airports, leave about 3 hours. Always leave 3 hours. So even if your incoming flight is delayed, you always have a bit of time so you don't have to rush to the next gate. Second off, if you're transiting from international to domestic, and for those of you who travel a lot to the US, this is a question that would help you guys a lot. I would recommend about 4 hours because, for example, if I was to fly from Vietnam or from Mumbai to, let's consider Austin, Texas, right? Not a lot of international flights. There's one from London, but we're going to exclude that. So, for example, if I was to fly to New York, pretty simple. I fly to New York or LA, and then I have to take a domestic connection to Austin on American, United, Delta, any other airline, Southwest maybe. I don't think Southwest does that, but okay. All right, so I flew into New York, for example. I flew via Hong Kong or via Frankfurt, Dubai, any place. And I have to take a connecting flight to Austin. Now, New York JFK is a humongous airport. I would recommend leaving about 5 hours at LA, San Francisco, Chicago, major airports like Dallas. I would recommend about 5 hours because you have to do immigration, exit. So exit, immigration, take your baggage, and then go to the other terminal. And maybe you might have to recheck your baggage. So it might take a lot of time. And these are humongous airports with multiple terminals. So I would recommend leaving about 4 to 5 hours, easy peasy, all right? In traveling season, like Thanksgiving, 6 hours, if possible. Now, I do understand that sometimes you don't get a wide enough connection. I totally understand that. I'm very sorry about my voice and my throat. Sorry. Right? So I would recommend leaving a long enough time so you can transit from one flight to another. Now, domestic flights, not a lot of problem. domestic flights within the US, I would recommend leaving about 1 to 1.5 hours because you don't have to do anything, basically. You just get off the flight and then you go to the other gate. Now, if you do have lounge access, that's where the key thing is. Now, before I talk about lounges, which are very important, of course, to traveling, always transit through major airports, I would recommend, or smaller airports with multiple flights. So, for example, if I was traveling in the winter season from here to... Okay, let me take an example. I had a perfect example in mind. Okay, so if I was traveling from Mumbai all the way to Atlanta via Amsterdam. Amsterdam is a major SkyTeam hub, right? KLM. And it's a major Delta destination as well. So Delta flies a lot to Amsterdam from its airport. So I would recommend flying through Amsterdam because even if you miss your first flight, you have a chance of getting through another. So if I miss my first KLM flight, there's at least 2 or 3 more Delta flights to Atlanta. And because they're a SkyTeam alliance and they're a joint venture airline, they'll be able to rebook you on the same alliance. So it helps a lot. So if I was to fly to Philadelphia, which is an American Airlines hub, it's easy. Fly through London. Right? Because London is a British Airways hub, which is also Oneworld partner with American, right? So if you miss the British flight, they will be able to reaccommodate you on the next British flight or on the American flight, which makes things a lot easier, right? Or I would recommend sticking to one alliance when you're taking connecting flights, so it's easier for you to transit, right? So Emirates to Emirates stays the same. But if I was to travel from Mumbai to New York, I would recommend sticking with British and American, right? Or just stick on the same alliance or same airline if possible. Pretty simple logic. Now comes the lounge. Lounge is one of the most beautiful places at an airport. Not US domestic lounges. They suck. I haven't experienced a lounge in a long time. Airline lounges, I would recommend the one in Vietnam that I love the most is the domestic airport lounge in Hanoi, which is amazing. The Vietnam Airlines domestic lounge in Hanoi Airport is amazing. It's beautiful. Food there is so good. I had a bowl of pho and I still remember the taste of that. Oh my God. Now, the next one is always check with your parents if their credit card gets them into lounges, right? You wouldn't want to miss out on a lounge. So if you have too long of a connection, right? I wouldn't recommend booking more than 6 hours of a connection between 2 international flights. That's way too long to spend at an airport, especially if you don't have lounge access. Now, lounge access is pretty simple to handle. What you got to do is you got to know what class you're traveling with, right? So if I'm an American Airlines, let's say gold or platinum member, executive platinum, and I'm traveling on Cathay Pacific, I get access to Cathay Pacific's lounges in Hong Kong. It wouldn't make sense for me to travel on Vietnam Airlines and Korean because I wouldn't get the benefits. So fly with the airline you have statuses with, right? You can use your statuses with. If you have status with Vietnam Airlines and you're a platinum member, fly Vietnam Airlines, Korean Air, KLM, Air France, fly the airlines that recognize that access that you have. If I have access with Cathay Pacific, do not fly Vietnam Airlines. Not very useful. Right? Fly Cathay, American, British, Qantas, Malaysian Airlines. These airlines help you get access and get more points on your account. So if I have American Airlines and I'm flying on Vietnam, I don't get points. But if I'm an American Airlines Platinum and I'm flying even in Cathay Economy, I get more points than I would get as Vietnam Airlines because I don't get any off of them. Right? It's a pretty simple logic. First tip, get frequent flyers. Get frequent flyer account, one in each alliance, I would recommend. So I would recommend British Airways or American Airlines in Oneworld. British especially but they do have some fuel surcharges, so I would recommend having American as well. I'll explain fuel surcharges at a point sometime in the podcast. The second one, for Star Alliance, I would recommend having United or Air Canada's Aeroplan. They give you a lot of access to a lot of airlines, a lot of award class seats. So if you have a lot of miles on your account, you can use those to book first class on Lufthansa, which I have heard is amazing. And even business, maybe. Even their premium economy is good. I've read a lot of reviews, huh? Now, for SkyTeam, it's a bit tricky. I would recommend choosing Delta. Now, Delta does... Now, I do know with personal experience that in U.S., try flying Delta domestically. Delta, Alaska, or JetBlue, right? Do not. I prefer not to fly. I would be really happy if you didn't fly American, United, or Spirit, or Frontier, or those kind of airlines. Fly Southwest if possible, and get Alaska Airlines, because Alaska Airlines allows you to fly Emirates. They gives you a point off of that, and some other weird airlines, so like Hawaiian, you get points off of Iceland Air, and those kind of things. Iceland Air reminds me, there's something called a stopover. So, for example, let me take the best example I have in mind, Emirates, right? There's only one daily flight. Once a day, there's a flight from between Dubai and Ho Chi Minh City, right? There's only one flight a day. And there's only one flight a day from Dubai to... I don't know. Okay, Dubai to Dallas, right? Now, if I was to fly from Ho Chi Minh City to Dallas, and since it's only once a day flight, you know, it's daily once a day flight, connection time between the two flights happens to be 23 hours. That's why we don't book Emirates when we're trying to fly to US, because the connection time did not match for Dallas. We were flying to Dallas, Texas, by the way. So the interesting part was that when you are at 23 hours of a connection and you still book, Emirates will allow you to go around Dubai. Now, what the stopover program means is when you are in Dubai, and you booked a ticket where you had no other option but to have a long, long, long stopover, right? At Dubai Airport, because there's only one today flight. If there were two flights and I still booked a long connection because it was cheap, they won't let me enter Dubai. They won't help me. So what Emirates will do is they'll provide you with a hotel ticket for the night. That's really nice of you, Emirates. They'll provide you with visa, on arrival visa for about 24 hours so you can go see Dubai. Now you can... Now, this is where the best part is. Now, if you are flying and you haven't visited Dubai, or you just want to, you know, pop in and see some people, pop in and see some relatives, this is a very good scheme that a lot of Middle Eastern airlines, like Turkish, Emirates, a lot of other airlines as well. I think Singapore Airlines runs this. And what else? Iceland Air runs this very well. I think Air Canada does. And a few more airlines do. So there are certain conditions, and it's always a good thing to check if you're applicable, if you're eligible for that stopover program or not. I would really recommend checking that. So that's it for the ultimate guide to connections. Now, my favorite connection airport till now that I've done is... What connection airports have I done? I love Singapore. It's super simple to get from terminal any to any terminal. I love Singapore as a connection. I loved Hong Kong. Always check if you have lounge access or not. So Priority Pass, Centurion Lounges, if you're hearing this, ask your parents if they have access to the American Express Centurion Lounges in Hong Kong. I've heard it's one of the best ones out there, and you can have showers, free food, and it's way, 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 way better than other lounges in the US. If your bar is really low, you'll be traveling in Admirals Club or United Club or even flying Delta Sky Clubs. I think Centurion Lounges would be a really good upgrade for you. Now, that's it for the podcast. And I would be really happy if you ever wanted to contact me to help you book tickets. I'm always there to help, guys. And I'm always here to make podcasts and keep you guys informed. Thanks a lot for listening in. And I know this was a long episode, but it was really overdue. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye. And till then, keep sending your requests for other cities that you think I should cover. Till then, bye-bye. Bye, guys.